Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Monday morning to you. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Last night, another easy victory by the Warriors to go up 2-0. Is there any way the Cavaliers can make this a series by going back home for 3-4? Joining us on the show is NBA analyst and a 13-year NBA veteran, Antonio Daniels, joining us this morning here on the show. Antonio, how you doing?
DA, what's up, brother? Thanks for having me, man.
You got it. My pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. As a former player and an analyst now yourself, do you enjoy and appreciate the Warriors because of their greatness, or
Yes. Is
it frustrating because it feels inauthentic or engineered or artificial because they just added KD in the offseason?
Well, both. I like watching these finals, obviously in these playoffs, because you get an opportunity to experience greatness. And regardless of the outcome, anytime you get an opportunity to experience greatness, it should be appreciated. What Golden State has going right now, you are watching greatness. Okay? That's one side. But on the flip side, I would be foolish not to recognize the fact that Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City and going to Golden State completely changed the landscape of the entire National Basketball Association. Any way you look at it, any way you break it down. Because I think what this series really shows is Golden State is head and shoulders above the other 29 teams in this league.
So when you say it changed the landscape of the league, do you think it changed it for the better or the worse?
That's hard to say, because here's my thing, DA. When Kevin Durant leaves and he goes to Golden State, now if you are in the Western Conference or, heck, the other 29 teams, how do you compete with them? How do you possibly compete with that team that's in Golden State with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green? The only way to compete with that team is to, in your own right, have your own super team. But the way that the new collective bargaining agreement is set up, Adam Silver doesn't want that. He doesn't want stars doing what Kevin Durant did. So I'm here in San Antonio. The rumor here is maybe Chris Paul, maybe not. For Chris Paul to come down here and join Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge, he has to leave $60, $65 million on the table. So if you're some of these other teams that are trying to compete with Golden State or Cleveland in the East, you know, Oklahoma City or even Boston or some of these other teams, how do you compete with these teams without adding another superstar and creating your own team, which is now difficult because now to create a super team, that guy that you're bringing in is going to have to leave a crazy amount of money on the table, which is difficult for any guy to do.
Right. Antonio Daniels joins us here on the show. And so I wonder, are there players around the league that are kind of emotionally, I don't want to say scarred, but frustrated right now, because it feels like there is no way to create a team that will be as good as Golden State. And that means, as you said, there's 29 other teams that know that they can't win a championship. Are there guys around the league grumbling that it feels like the window's closed for them?
Well, you know, I don't think so. Because no matter what, no matter how good Golden State is, and it's different from us to sit from the analyst side as opposed to sit from the player side. The player side, you still have that competitive fire that burns within you that says, you know what, we need to do what we have to do to compete with Golden State or to beat Golden State. How do you make that happen is the question. You can have that competitive burning desire inside to beat this team, but you also have to have a way to make that happen. And that's difficult. It's difficult. If you're a team like, let's say, the Washington Wizards, and they were one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals, or even the Boston Celtics, who made the Eastern Conference Finals and won one game. If you add Gordon Hayward and you add the number one pick with Markelle Fultz, does that put you any closer to actually beating the Cleveland Cavaliers? Probably not.
Yeah.
So what's next? Like, what is the next step? So if I'm in the East, I'm a little more optimistic because in the next 3 years, what you're hoping for is a drastic LeBron James decline and saying, okay, he has a lot of miles on his body. Eventually, he's going to start going the other direction because Father Time is undefeated. So you can, you know, LeBron can go and he can go and he can make Father Time chase him, but eventually he's going to catch him. And once he catches LeBron, that'll be the Washington Wizards, the Boston Celtics, some of these other teams, the Milwaukee Bucks, some of these other teams in the Eastern Conference, opportunity to now take that top spot.
Right. And so then that opens up the East. But what we're seeing is that no matter how good the Cavaliers even are,
right,
they're 20 points worse than the Warriors. And so I wonder, are we just now, do we have to be in a holding pattern where you just have to wait until Father Time either gets to the Warriors or that they're broken up because of finances or egos or something? Because if they're 20 points better than even the Cavaliers, it doesn't say much for the rest of the competition in the NBA. Like if you say Chris Paul goes to the San Antonio Spurs, do you think that's enough that they could topple the Warriors?
Probably not. But see, here's my issue, D.A. So when LeBron James comes out in February and says, you know what, I need another playmaker, he gets killed for it. People kill him for it. You know, oh, man, you know, what do you need another playmaker for? You're supposed to be the best player on the planet. What do you need another playmaker for? Because he wasn't thinking about February. He was thinking about June. So when you understand and you look at what Kevin Durant has around him in Golden State with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and for LeBron James to say, I need another playmaker to make the game easier for me as well, look how easy the game looks for Kevin Durant. And he's averaging 35, 11, and 7. And it makes it look easy because of the guys that are around him. And you look at LeBron James and how difficult it is for him to do what he's doing, and he's still dominant and still losing by 20 points. So when he comes out and says, I need another playmaker, whether it's a Carmelo Anthony or what, I don't know what he meant. No one knows what he meant. We killed him for it. You know, oh, man, what do you think? What do you mean you need another playmaker? Because he sees the monster that he was going to eventually have to face in Golden State. Now when you go back to February and he says, I need another playmaker, now it all makes sense.
Antonio Daniels, our guest here on the show, and I kind of feel like I heard a little resignation in LeBron's voice after the last two games because they were asking him about these games, and he said, look, I told you, they're better than they were last year. They're better than they were. They added
right.
Kevin Durant.
Right.
They're better.
Right.
And it was almost like, I don't know what you want me to do, and LeBron's so hyper-competitive, but he might be looking at this going, you can't slay this dragon. There's no way we can slay this dragon, and that means there's no way anybody in the league can do it. Do you think he feels that way?
I don't think he does. I don't think he doesn't feel like that they can't beat them. I know it's going to take a heroic effort from him and those other guys. But on the flip side, I keep hearing people say, well, you know what, this is the same thing that happened last year. They got up, you know, Golden State got up 3-1. The difference between this year and last year is number 35. They did not have the second-best player on the planet on their team a year ago. So now what you have is Klay Thompson can struggle, Draymond Green can struggle, because Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are enough to get it done. So Kevin Durant's offensive ability can offset Draymond Green and Klay Thompson's struggles. A year ago, Harrison Barnes' offensive skill set wasn't enough to offset the struggle of those two guys. Now you have the second best player on the planet and possibly the most difficult matchup in this league today. 6'11", can shoot it, can handle it, has a high shot release, all these things that come along. There's not a guy in this league that can guard Kevin Durant. There's not one guy in this league to guard Kevin Durant. I don't care what anybody says. Kawhi Leonard's a great defender. LeBron James is a heck of a defender. But Kevin Durant being 6'11", with the ability to shoot, post, handle the ball the way he does, he can get his shot off at any time on anyone. So that means the moment that he steps on the floor, he is a walking mismatch.
LeBron did not take the podium last night. He preferred to do it in front of his locker, and some thought maybe it was because they'd lost. LeBron, it sounds like, didn't want to do it because he was sick of waiting around for the Warriors to be done, and then he goes on the podium. Do you think, though, that LeBron has the responsibility to have to do it from the podium?
No. And that's a player's perspective. You know, that's my own personal, you know, LeBron has done a lot. He's done a lot. You know, there's no way possible that everything that LeBron James would do will please people. No way, no how. And I can understand that feeling of when the game is over, you're dejected, you're upset, you're bothered. And I know some people will say that is his professional responsibility, but he is still giving the media its time. It's uncomfortable for the media because you have guys that are in there that are scrounging around trying to get their microphones to you. They're fighting for places and fighting for positions and so on and so forth. But if you're LeBron James, you're ready to put this game behind you, say what you have to say, and move on.
I agree with you, and at the risk of me sounding like a LeBron apologist, to me, as long as he spoke to the media, had he not spoken to the media, I think that'd be a bad look. But as long as he's speaking to the media, I don't care where he does it. And now, you being on that side of the microphone and me having done this for a long time as well, I know how cumbersome it can be when you've got that much media and this much attention and the other team has to go first because they won. And it feels like forever before you get up there. I could kind of understand the Cavaliers going and LeBron going, let's just get this done over here, and then we can go and move on to game three. Kind of makes sense, right?
Right. Those podium press conferences aren't short press conferences.
Yeah.
You know, because you have the coach in there. Maybe you have Steve Kerr, and then you have maybe Mike Brown and his feelings on not coaching. And then maybe you have Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and all these other guys that are praying up there, and you're basically in the locker room waiting. You're waiting. And like I said, you're feeling dejected after a loss like that, especially when you're LeBron James, the amount of responsibility that you have on your shoulders. Because what sucks if you're LeBron is when you look at that stat sheet and you look at the fact that you were as dominant as you were with a triple-double, you played as hard as you possibly could, Kevin Love didn't play bad, Kyrie Irving didn't play bad, and you still lost by 20. That's a problem, because now it has you going back to your think tank and thinking, man, what can we do? He will never say that in this series. We'll never say in this series, you know what, man, we can't beat this team, or Golden State is better than us. You always notice at the end of playoff series, when it's over, the losing team always comes to the podium and says, you know what, they were a better team than we were. But you will never hear that during the series. You always hear it when it's over. Even in the back of your mind, you may know it during that series, but you will never say it. And LeBron James, I don't know how he's feeling right now. Maybe he's feeling like, you know what? We lost these two. Golden State took care of home. Now we have to go take care of home in Cleveland. Or maybe he's actually feeling, like you said earlier, D.A., maybe he's feeling like, man, this is a dragon, and I don't know if we have the power to slay this dragon.
Before I let you go, Antonio, let me ask you, if the Warriors sweep and they don't lose a playoff game, would you consider them in the conversation as one of the greatest basketball teams of all time?
I you know, that's a conversation. I'm not a big fan of the all-time discussion because you're comparing different eras. You're comparing different players. There are different rules. There's so many, you know, different styles. So it's tough. Would you say that they're one of the best teams of this era? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But you do have to recognize the fact that if they go through and they win 16-0, that's something special. That's something special. But, you know, because then the conversation becomes, well, if they're one of the best of all time, could they have beaten the Bulls? Or could they have beaten the Lakers? Or could they? And now you're starting to compare and contrast generations. And for me, I don't want to discredit any team of the past, and I don't want to discredit the teams of the present as well.
Antonio Daniels, follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow during the NBA playoffs at adaniels33, studio analyst, NBA analyst, SiriusXM as well. He's fantastic. Antonio, this was great, man. Thank you so much for doing it. We'll have to do this again.
For sure, DA. Anytime, brother. Thanks for having me, man.
You got it, man. Antonio Daniels joining us here on the show. Fantastic. Fantastic. You know, that LeBron thing is interesting because I understand when you're the face of the NBA, people expect you to follow and abide by the protocol. I get that. I really do. I understand that, and I respect that. But last night, LeBron not going to the podium, to me, is not a big deal as long as he spoke. And he did. He spoke in front of his locker to the assembled media that was there. But I just, and I would say the same thing about Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. I understand after a loss, it feels like you're skirting responsibility a little bit. Had the Warriors lost and KD or Steph didn't do it at the podium, I would say the same thing. As long as they spoke and answered questions, I don't care where they do it. Because I've been in that locker room situation. I've been in the podium situation. It's way more comfortable for the media to be sitting in a nice seat, in a nice chair, and have somebody on an elevated podium, and you get to ask your question, and it's moderated. It's much harder when it's a scrum. But frankly, we shouldn't be grading guys based on our comfort, at the media's comfort. You should be grading guys as long as they uphold their professional duty, which is to speak after the game. I really don't care where they do it. I really don't. And I didn't think that the way that LeBron handled the questions was disrespectful or sulky or testy. I thought he was pretty frank, pretty matter of fact. And like I said to Antonio Daniels, I think there's a level of resignation now of they're just better. They're better than last year, and we're not as good. And look, LeBron might not consciously say we can't win this series. I'm hearing in his voice this realization of we could beat them last year. We could have beat them the year before had we been healthy. I think LeBron subconsciously is going, we can't beat this team because we're just not nearly as good as them. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Will a song save Monday Night Football? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings, Mothership.
DA, first of all, man, I'm new to this area. You are awesome, brother. This is a great show, and I love the new time slot. But I love you guys. Keep it up.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour, and remember that the DA show is podcastable. Full episodes of The DA available on iTunes. So simply go there and search DA CBS. You'll get full hours, full interviews, full episodes, however you want to listen to it. It's DA On Demand on iTunes. John tweets in, DA, the Chicago Bulls could have not beaten the Warriors in 2017, and the 90s were too physical to allow Golden State to win. I think there's some truth there. Because of the current rules, because the game is played around the perimeter now, the Warriors are kind of perfectly built for that, to space and slash, or space, kick out, and hit threes. And had they been built this way in the 1990s, I think it's fair to say they wouldn't be nearly as effective in the 1980s or 1990s because there was so much more you could do defensively. There was so much more physicality allowed. And as I mentioned last hour, I think the only way the Cavaliers can get back into the series is if they muck it up and they give a few hard fouls. I mean, if I'm Ty Lue, I understand there is a problem in getting yourself in a foul trouble, so you don't want to do it unnecessarily. But I would tell Tristan Thompson, hey man, when somebody comes down here on an open layup, do not let it happen. I would tell Shumpert, I would tell J.R. Smith, look, you're not going to tell LeBron take bad fouls, but put a body on him, knock him down. So that when they slash to the rack and they've got nobody around them, that they have to think twice. Because there's only one way the Cavaliers can make this a series, is by slowing the game down, playing in the 90s, and making sure that the Warriors are out of rhythm. Because the Warriors in rhythm are devastating. You've heard the news by now. We are all going to be regaled with Hank Williams Jr., All My Rowdy Friends, as the intro of Monday Night Football this upcoming season. And that's fine and good. That's fine and good. We all love that song. There's no reason not to love that song. It's a classic Monday Night Football intro. It gets you feeling in the mood. There's no doubt Hank Williams Jr. just playing that song feels kind of retro. You remember the good old days. It's nostalgic. And you're like, all right, it's time for Monday Night Football. But it's truly pathetic for ESPN to be acting as though this is going to goose ratings. Because if you really want to hear that song in 2017, you know, you don't have to wait until a football game is being played. You can just click on your phone and listen to it. Go to YouTube, type in Hank Williams Jr., Rowdy Friends, or Monday Night Football intro or whatever, and you can hear it right now as many times as you want. So it's like, yeah, we're going to bring the aura back to Monday Night Football. It's going to feel like it used to. No, it won't. It definitely won't. And here's why, and I hate to break the news to ESPN suits. I realize they've had a lot on their plate, but here's the thing with cord cutting and layoffs. And here's the thing. I know this is a hard thing to wrap your mind around, but people aren't not watching Monday Night Football because there's no Hank Williams Jr. They're not watching Monday Night Football because the games aren't that good. I know this is kind of crazy. Don't tell the outside world this, but if I'm inside that boardroom, I'm going, okay, yeah, we can get Hank Williams Jr. back. We could try to goose it so that it's like the classic nostalgia. You're watching Monday Night Football. But here's the thing. If it's a bad game, nobody cares. And think about the pecking order of football and matchups. Sunday Night Football is almost always the best matchup of the weekend. And they try to do it that way because that's the window that gets the biggest rating. And then the second best game of the weekend usually goes to either CBS or Fox. And then the third best game of the weekend goes to either CBS or Fox. And then if you're super, super lucky, Monday night is the fourth best game of the weekend. But sometimes it's the sixth or the seventh or the ninth or the tenth. I mean, sometimes it's not even in the sphere of the best game of the weekend. And here's why we all love the Hank Williams Jr. song. Because that's when the Monday night game was the best game of the weekend. Okay? So the nostalgia we have for Hank Williams Jr. is going to be the nostalgia that we all have 20 years from now for Carrie Underwood. Because we'll remember Carrie Underwood or Faith Hill starting the best game of the weekend. We don't think back and be like, God, as long as we've got Hank Williams Jr., I'm ready for Browns Bengals. As long as we got Rowdy Friends, I'm in. Like, it doesn't matter what song you play to begin a bad, crummy football game. That ship has sailed. And here's the other thing that I would tell ESPN execs, but I don't know if they want to hear it. Viewing habits have changed. So in 1989, when I'm watching Monday Night Football, I don't have cable growing up. My folks didn't have cable, so I got three games a week. I've got the 1 o'clock on Sunday, the 4 o'clock on Sunday, and Monday night. That's it. That's all I got. I don't have an internet. I don't have cable. So I'm going like, I got to watch this. I need this. And because I had to go to bed, my bedtime was 9:30. I couldn't watch it here on the East Coast, so I had to videotape it. And I recorded it on a VCR and watched it the next day. I had to watch Monday Night Football. That was all the football I was getting. But here's the thing. In 2017, I got a Thursday night game. And then I have Red Zone Channel. And I've got every game on the package on Sunday. And I've got Sunday night. And I've got the internet so I can watch every highlight or every cut up or every meme or every replay I could ever want. And by the time Monday at like 1 o'clock comes around, I'm done with that previous weekend. Like week four is in the books. I'm looking at week five. And then I'm going, oh, right. And tonight we got to wrap up week four and there's another game and it's like the seventh best game of the weekend. By 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock Eastern time, whenever you all sit down for Monday Night Football on a Monday, it feels like the weekend of football is already over. You don't even need that game anymore. You're like, okay, it's like if Monday night started the next weekend's games, it might feel better. Be like, okay, week five starts tonight with Monday Night Football. But when week four is wrapping up, you're like, I'm already done with this week. My fantasy football game's already done. I'm looking ahead. I'm looking at the matchups next week. What's coming up on Thursday? What's the big game on Sunday at 1? Monday Night Football doesn't matter as much. And it's never the best game. So, yeah, goose the ratings with Hank Williams Jr. That's definitely going to solve the problem. Here's a better idea. Pay Roger Goodell under the table $100 million to give you the best game of the weekend, and then try to get a time machine like a DeLorean to bring us all back to 1985. And then Monday night will matter again, and then Hank Williams Jr. is going to be awesome. That's going to be the best thing for you. When we come back, a little sound check here on the show, your best audio of the day, including a controversy over bad breath. And we have Mr. Six waiting on hold to discuss the upcoming revenge game. He has called in. We will get to Mr. Six coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
This is Mr. Six. You better bring your popcorn. You're listening to the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's been set up. Small blocks, young guns, both teams win their playoff games this past weekend, which sets up a revenge game. It has become simply known as the rematch in the Flag Football League. And that means Mr. Six gets his second crack at things at Miraz the Young Guns after he joined us on Friday. By the way, you can watch the show by going to watchda.com. The digital broadcast is always available there. Watchda.com to check out what we're doing on the show. And it's mobile friendly, too, so you can watch on your phone or your mobile device. Now, Miraz, what does this mean? So you guys won a wild card game over the weekend. What?
That would be the equivalent. Essentially, in the flag football world, you have a division, you play your way out of a division, you get to a county championship, and then the two county champions meet in the Super Bowl. So there's four rounds. Basically, this is wild card weekend. We're up to the divisional round. The winner of this will go play in the Suffolk County Championship game.
So you guys will play for the spot in the county championship. This sounds like it's high school. You guys go playing for county. And then, after that, two counties play against one another for the Super Bowl.
For the Super Bowl. So we are three wins away from glory, two wins away from a trip for a chance to glory, one win away from the LFL's Final Four.
And where is this year's Class D Long Island Flag Football League Super Bowl between Suffolk and what's the other county?
Nassau. It alternates yearly between Stony Brook University's football stadium and Plainview High School stadium. Okay. I think we're on a Plainview High School tour. I think they had the media availability that week.
Okay. So that's how the bid process goes.
The bidding process. This is kind of like when the Super Bowl was in Jacksonville, so it may not be the best year to go, but you can't pick and choose. You just got to go when your time's up.
So you'd rather this be a Miami trip, and that would be going to Stony Brook.
Going to Stony Brook. This won't be. I mean, it's only one half of the bleachers, so, I mean, the fans might clash.
But you said there was approximately 43 fans to watch your game on Saturday.
Which is a big,
Sunday morning.
Which is a big crowd. Not capacity, because you could fill the whole ring, the oval, if you will. But that was for a playoff game, especially a wild card game. That crowd was jumping.
What do you think the crowd's going to be for you guys versus Mr. Six, the rematch?
They already tried, apparently, moving us to a bigger venue for a primetime game, which doesn't look like it's going to happen. They're anticipating, I think, upwards of 150 people in attendance of this game.
Mm.
Which,
and
for flag football, is crazy.
And maybe a pair of live broadcasts.
Right. The LIFFL might do their own broadcast. The DA show its own broadcast. I mean, this is going to be like Super Bowl I, where you didn't know what network to turn to.
Yes, exactly right. So Mr. Six joins us on the phone in anticipation of this game. Good morning, Mr. Six.
Good morning, DA.
How you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling all right. Can't complain.
Tell me about your game on, it was Sunday morning you guys played?
Yes, it was Sunday morning. We had a nice turnout at our field, a couple cameras, which I think that, you know, the young guns sent, you know, because there was a female there that was taking pictures and video.
Oh.
And so that's why our game was so close, because we didn't really put the foot on NWX like we wanted to, because I told them, let's just win this game, but not expose too much. They had a little spy gate going on, I believe.
Interesting. So you guys didn't want to put too much on film before the playoff game against the Young Guns.
Yes.
Okay, how was your game personally? How did you play?
I had a lot of attention focused on me, which, you know, opened up a lot of plays for my other players on the team. And, you know, my quarterback and my offensive line, they actually played good. But myself, I had a kick return touchdown,
wow,
a couple pass breakups, a couple receptions. I didn't score no receiving touchdowns due to the, you know, the corner playing 10 yards off of me, the safety over top. I was getting triple teamed the whole game.
What do you think about this matchup against the Young Guns? I mean, you had a bold prediction. You thought three interceptions for yourself and maybe 3 to 4 touchdowns. Are you still going to hold to that prediction?
I have to. I said it. I'm going to come through with it. I have to. I said we was going to make it to them. I already came through with that prediction, and I did. So I'm 1-for-1 right now. So I'm going 2-for-2.
You've also predicted a championship for you guys, the small blocks.
Oh, yes. That's all. I'll be going 3-for-3.
So you're guaranteeing a win over the Young Guns.
Yes.
Give me a prediction of a score.
Ooh, well, I'm saying with my 3 touchdown alone, we're going to put up at least 21 points. With our defense that we have set up for them, I don't think they're going to score more than 14 points themselves.
Interesting. So maybe like a 28-14 game or something like that.
Yeah, around there.
Look, here's the thing. I think you're going to torch them. I think that you specifically have the motivation. You have the ability. And now, I think you rise to the occasion. I think you know how much expectations are. So I think you're going to have a big game. But what are you going to do if you've got bracket coverage and the Young Guns are playing 10 yards off and they're just going to make sure you don't go off and everybody else is going to have to, you know, beat them? Are you ready to play decoy?
Yes. Whatever it takes for my team to get the victory, that's what I'm willing to do. So even if I don't get my 3 touchdowns, they're going to come from somewhere else. But if I get my 3 touchdowns, then it's automatically a victory. But my team, with my quarterback D'Angelo and my line, Biggs, Capo, and, you know, and Mike, our line is real good. I got my corners, M-Easy. You know, shouting out the whole small block team. You know, they're gonna pick up and do their job, and we're going to take this home.
My last question is going to be, do you have something coming for Mraz on Sunday? Because, you know.
Did you see the tweet that I sent? The Algie Crumpler and Dawkins?
No, I didn't see that. What did you tweet?
Yeah, there was a little, you know, a little video of Algie Crumpler, which he calls himself, you know, catching a pass, and Dawkins laid him out.
So you're going to be Brian Dawkins against Mraz this weekend?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mr. Six, because I believe in you and because I think you're a big game player, I'm coming to this game. So
okay.
I'm excited about this. I'm excited for you guys, and I hope I see a show.
You will get a show. I will guarantee you that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Six.
All right.
Mr. Six joining us here on the show. I'm going to this game. I got to go to this game. I need this game.
All I know is this. StubHub's prices I just saw are jumping, and Uber is already planning on raising their rates as well around this game.
There's surge pricing around small blocks and the Young Guns. Look, I'll tell you this. If the NBA Finals isn't going to deliver, at least Mr. Six is. We know Mr. Six is good theater. Do we know game time yet?
Don't. We should have that by the end of the day.
Okay. Time for a sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Me and my buddies were cracking up this weekend watching the video of Mr. Six in studio because our digital producer, Chris Venezia, on Friday put up the resume under Mr. Six that said flag football star / punched Mraz. And it was like the resume that ESPN puts up during the draft capsules. Line item, punched Mraz. Here's Draymond Green getting testy with reporters last night.
Both you guys, general thoughts about the game tonight, but also Draymond, I'm interested in your thoughts of you know, how you've been able to restrain yourself emotionally, you know, jeez, and avoid getting.
You act like I'm just this troubled, yeah, you know, guy who's been, you know, in a bunch of trouble and can't control myself, and you know, Jesus Christ,
you've avoided going over the line, right, to get an AT so far, which is, you know,
you've been waiting on, you're waiting on him to go across the line.
No, so I'm interested in what his, you know, how he's been able to do that.
I've just been playing basketball, brother. You know, and when you got great teammates, you know, like I do, who, you know, allowed me to play with my emotions and, you know, allowed me to be emotional when I'm talking to them and use my emotions to the better for us, it's easy, you know. So just really trying to lead this team as much as I can in the ways that I do for this team.
So I don't know if there's history between Draymond, KD, the Warriors, and this reporter, but to act as though that question is unfair or that he's baiting you into something shows a total lack of self-awareness, and this is why the Warriors are very difficult to embrace. The Warriors play a tremendous style of basketball for the modern day. They move the basketball well. They shoot incredibly well. Offensively, there's a flow. I mean, they obviously are a very beautiful team to watch when they're really playing well, but they're very difficult to embrace because they lack self-awareness. And one of the reasons is Draymond Green has no idea really what he's really about. Because last year, the guy is kicked out of an NBA Finals game. He's kicked out of a crucial turning point game of the NBA Finals for more ridiculousness. And he has a reputation for kicking players in the junk and flailing his limbs all over the place and barking about every stupid foul and whistle. And even though it's an obvious foul, he acts as though he didn't do anything. And for somebody to say, well, how have you been able to keep your emotions in check? And for him to be like, how dare you have the gall to ask me about that? You're just waiting for me to snap. I'm going, do you have no idea what you've done to develop this reputation? You know, it's like Draymond Green saying that the NBA is a modern form of slavery. And then the Warriors going like, oh, come on, Draymond, he's just pulling all your chains, man. You can't, don't take it seriously. Like, he just compared something to the worst thing in humanity. You can't do that and then just laugh it off and go, oh, it's just Draymond being Draymond. You guys got Draymond. No, that's not how that works. If we're going to take something seriously, you can't then joke about it and say, don't take it seriously. So are we not supposed to take slavery seriously? Like, you can't have it both ways. And the Warriors have perfected this of they get to play by their own set of rules. And then when you question them, oh, how could you dare question us on that? Oh, come on. You guys are taking things too seriously. PK Subban tells NBC Sports Network that Sidney Crosby questions his dental hygiene, or at least his oral hygiene, over the game on, I guess that's Saturday.
He told me my breath smelled, but I don't know. I used some Listerine before the game, so I don't know what he's talking about.
He likes the attention and things like that. So, I mean, you know, if he wants to make stuff up, I mean, there's not much what can I do?
It's funny that this has become a controversy. This is the most hockey thing ever. That the trash talk is, he said my breath stunk. No, I didn't. You're making that up, eh? I mean, I think that's a pretty good trash talk. Would it shock me if PK Subban had bad breath? No, it wouldn't shock me if any athlete had bad breath. Every time I feel like I go and I play in some pickup league basketball or flag football or pickup soccer, I feel like I'm always guarding the guy with bad breath. That just feels like that's like my lot in life. So, and I always ask the people around me, make sure I'm not the guy with bad breath. Please tell me. So I think that's just good trash talking. But in hockey, oh no, I didn't say that, eh? And finally, LeBron James getting one of the dumbest questions ever last night.
LeBron, you just realized this is a case where you got to defend home court at this point?
Well, I mean, are you a smart guy?
Okay, stop it right there. Can we just stop this? So let me just tell you what the reporter said. The reporter said, so LeBron, do you feel like you have to defend home court? They're down 2-0. So here's LeBron.
Well, I mean, are you a smart guy?
I think so,
right? So if we don't defend home court, what happens?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
I'm asking you.
Well, yeah, then you guys are looking at getting swept.
All right. So that answers your question.
So that is just the worst question ever. And part of this is when you're in that moment, it can be nerve-wracking. You know, you're getting jostled and pushed around. You're trying to get a question in and you're thinking about your story or you're thinking about your soundbite. I've been in that moment and you can get nervous and kind of trip over your tongue and whatnot. But that's the worst framing of a question ever. LeBron, do you feel like you have to defend home court? Well, if we don't win our home games here, we're either down 3-1 or we have lost and we're swept. So, yeah, I would think we want to defend our home. What's the answer there? Not like, do you think you'll get a jolt by going and playing at home? Are you looking forward to playing at home? What will playing at home mean to you guys? Do you draw playing at home last year? No, it's, do you think you have to defend home court? Yeah. I'll just leave it at that. Yes, we definitely think we need to do that because if we don't, then we go home and we don't want to go home. We don't want to lose. We'd like to win. When we come back here on the show after last night's game two, another easy victory by the Warriors. Are the Dubs two wins away from being the greatest basketball team ever? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.